Welcome to another edition of The Debate from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. The U.S. House of Representatives just passed the resolution on the proceedings of an impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. Now, this is not a vote on whether to impeach the president. It rather sets out the public phase of the process. Trump is accused of trying to persuade Ukraine into helping him smear his political rival, Joe Biden. His top advisor in Russia, Tim Morrison, is also shedding light on Trump's efforts to press Ukraine to investigate his election rival. Now, what's coming next? What are the chances of an impeachment? We'll discuss those questions more in tonight's program. Before that, let's listen to some reactions by a number of Democrats and Republicans in the House.
No person, Republican or Democrat, president or anyone else, should be permitted to jeopardize America's security and reputation for self-serving political purposes. No president, no official can demand that an ally of the United States do anything in particular to help his or her political ambitions as a condition of receiving help from our country. If, after a fair and thorough inquiry, the allegations against President Trump are found to be true, they would represent a profound offense against the Constitution and against the people of this country. It is the duty of the House to vindicate the Constitution and to make it crystal clear to future presidents that this kind of conduct, if proven, is an affront to the great public that placed their trust in him or her.
Madam Speaker, when you look through this resolution and you see how one-sided, how Soviet-style this is running, this is the United States of America. Don't run a sham process, a tainted process, like this resolution ensures.
And I would hope that rather than protecting the president personally, all of our colleagues would choose to honor their oath of office. The facts are what they are. They can try to misrepresent them, but the fact is this is a process that is expanded opportunity for them to show anything that is exculpatory proves the innocence of the president.
Democrats are trying to impeach the president because they are scared they cannot defeat him at the ballot box. That's not my words. That's the words of my colleagues from the other side of the aisle that has offered impeachment three different times. This impeachment is not only an attempt to undo the last election, it is an attempt to influence the next one as well. This is not what Democrats promised when they entered the majority 11 months ago.
Well, a number of opposing comments there. Now let's start discussing the issue. So joining me will be host of the Voice of the Revolution Radio, Jacob Music from Maryland, and also political commentator Malik Abdul, who's joining us out of Washington, D.C. Good to have you, gentlemen. Let's go to Jacob first. The House has adopted the resolution, as you know, as regards the next stages of the impeachment inquiry. So what's expected to happen now?
So now at this point, at least I can tell you that I personally don't think there actually will be an impeachment. I'm guessing your other guests probably won't as well. To get to an impeachment, it would have to go a long way. And usually before U.S. presidents even do get impeached, they will resign. Donald Trump would probably not be the type to resign, but it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of steam towards actually getting rid of him from office. And I know that Democrats would not be enthusiastic for the Vice President Mike Pence to actually be president. So if anything, it just seems like it is kind of almost a promotional activity that would be geared towards the election. I think that they think that they can win. I kind of disagree with your clip that I do believe the Democrats think with one of their candidates they can win. But I think for the Democrats, it's less about actually the process and more about the statement of saying, yes, we are doing something to those many, many people in the United States who are not pleased with this president, with most people in the country who are not pleased with the president, saying that we, the Democratic Party, are trying to do something for you, even if that's not really doing very much of anything legislatively.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to D.C. Malik, let's have your opinion on this. What's going to happen next?
Well, I agree with my fellow panelists here. They're going to go ahead and hold the impeachment inquiry vote. as they did, and I expect that that's something that's going to continue. One of the things that people, you know, Trump supporter, Republicans, anyone, we really can see, independents actually can see that ourselves, is that the goal from the beginning of the Trump presidency was to make him a one-term president. And so I think that there are things now with the impeachment inquiry, which is ironic considering that I think it was probably about a month or so, or 2 months ago, we knew that the Mueller report, we were going to get the goods from the Mueller report, and that didn't happen. And so now we've moved on to Ukraine. And there are things that Donald Trump did to help facilitate this, if you will. But for the most part, I don't think that they're going to, where they're definitely not going to have a vote in the Senate, there is won't pass in the Senate, but I do expect in the House, this is something that definitely satisfies the Democratic base who do not want Trump in office, who does not want Trump in office. And so I think that this is where we are going to be in our politics.
Now, Jacob, President Trump took to Twitter as usual and weighed in on the House vote, blaming the impeachment inquiry for negatively impacting the stock market. Then he called it, and I'm quoting him, the greatest witch hunt in U.S. history. Is that a witch hunt?
Well, I think honestly Americans have become desensitized to this word because so often the special counsel was also referred to as a witch hunt. And
right.
So we're just thinking,
but this is the
hunt.
Greatest
I mean,
one.
Witch hunt. I'm sorry?
This is the greatest one this time.
Oh, is this the greatest one? Absolutely.
In Mr. Trump's
not,
words,
no.
Yeah.
No, the greatest witch hunt were real witch hunts against actual witches in the 1600s in the United States and in Europe. People who were religiously persecuted for being female, old, or different. Those are the greatest witch hunts. So no, this is not.
Okay, Milik?
Well, of course, our president uses a lot of rhetorical devices, and this is yet another one. I think any time our president is investigated or looked into in any way, he actually says it's a witch hunt. We can admit that as far as the Russia, the Mueller investigation, well, we didn't get the things that we were supposed to get out of that. So in theory, I definitely understand our president when he says that this is a witch hunt, and he feels under siege because he's been under siege since really the day that he won election, not when he took office, the day that he won election, because if you remember, the day after he won election, there were people protesting in the streets. So he's been under siege since then, and so that he would call this a witch hunt really doesn't surprise me, but I do kind of agree with him in a sense that this is definitely a siege. He's being besieged upon here.
Jacob, all Democrats, but for two of them, voted for the resolution, while all Republicans opposed it. And that's why the White House is complaining that the investigation has been too partisan in the word and that the impeachment is sham. Are they right?
It's certainly extremely partisan. Is it too partisan? I mean, the United States, the current political system that we have where it's dominated by two parties is too partisan. I mean, there are only really two institutionalized expressions of political voice in our legislature. And so any action that will be done by this system is inherently going to be partisan, either one of two ways. So yes, it is absolutely a partisan action, but I don't think that that really shocked anybody. And I would like to respond to your guest and some other things that President Trump was besieged. It's not abnormal for somebody to be elected United States president and have people be protesting them, especially the next day, especially in great numbers. I mean, that is something, that act of protest and that right to protest is something that's very common in the United States. It's been a thread from the beginning, at least for many people. And so that's not abnormal. He's not under siege. But some reason why he may be very unpopular, at least from the beginning, or people were from the very beginning up in arms, is he lost the popular vote. I mean, he didn't win the most votes. He won the votes that he needed to for the Electoral College. And so going into this presidency, you had a majority of people who didn't want him as presidency, a majority of voters, I should say, that did not want him to be president. So you're never going to have a minority elected president, and it's going to go smooth sailing in the popularity sphere.
Malik, do you want to comment on that?
Well, sure. I actually just want to take one of the points. I don't recall after the election of Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, I don't recall any of the protests that we're seeing in the streets now. And dude, let's be clear, it's not that it's just that Donald Trump.
Most people who have ever protested at the onset of the Iraq War in 2003, including 1 million worldwide.
Well, we're talking about a U.S. election, what's happening in the U.S. And as far as the U.S. elections are concerned, I don't recall George W. Bush being protested against as far as his election, not something that's tied to the war or any
vote
or anything.
That was extremely controversial. Yeah. It wasn't even decided by an election. It was decided by Bush before the Supreme Court case. Of course there was protest. And in Florida, there were people hiding ballot boxes and locking cabinets and all sorts of crazy things.
They were protesting an election. In the case of Donald Trump, they are protesting Donald Trump. And to continue that point, we see not just Donald Trump is being protested against, anyone associated with Donald Trump, anyone affiliated with the Trump administration have been protested against, not just in the streets, but in restaurants. So I reject your characterization that this is something that happens all the time and this is not something that's abnormal. I don't recall any officials in the Barack Obama administration nor the George W. Bush administration. Of course, this is pre-Twitter in the Clinton administration. I don't recall any of their administration officials dining at a restaurant and having people protesting them because they're connected to the president of the United States, not because of specific policies, but because they're connected to the president of the United States. This is something that is different, and we call that the anti-Trump resistance that's happening now. So this is not something that happens all the time. In no way is it something that happens all the time.
Okay, Jacob, let's not get off tangents and get to the main topic. Republican representatives criticized the Democrats for, quote, hiding facts from American people. They say they're holding closed-door hearings. And then Lee Zeldin, who is a Trump congressional ally, has called for transcripts from those closed-door hearings of the inquiry so that the lawmakers could debate what they're calling the substance of the allegations against the president. Now, Democrats insist that they should first put the evidence together prior to the public phase of the inquiry. So what do you think is going on?
I think it's very suspicious. As usual, the elites in the United States want to keep things under wraps. They don't like leaks. They don't like things coming out prematurely. I think it makes sense. They want this to come out kind of as a polished, maybe as an anti-Mueller report. I don't really know. But what they want as Democrats is for it to be completed, looked over, revised, polished to be their publicity towards that election campaign. And if it comes out previously, if it comes out and they're discussing strategies, or if they're expressing doubt, or if they are if they have dissenting Democrats who actually voted for the impeachment, and that comes out previously, that's not going to look too good on them, and their character and their seriousness and their how much they actually believe in this vote will be questioned.
Malik, looks like you don't have anything to oppose, Jacob, on this, huh?
Well, no, not at all. And this goes back to your previous question about whether or not, people are complaining about this process being partisan. Well, welcome to politics, because that's exactly what politics has become nowadays. And yes. I don't disagree with Jacob said. When Republicans, this is kind of a cycle, a cyclical, if you will. So when Republicans, where Democrats had control, Republicans complained about the process when Democrats were in control. Democrats complained about the process when Republicans are in control. So this is something that we see all the time. There are things specifically with how impeachment hearings or inquiries for that matter have been carried about in this instance that's different from the two or so instances that we've had in the past. And so there are things that people on my side, we're gonna yell to the top of our lungs that this is not fair, but unfortunately, welcome to politics.
Okay. Now, Jacob, the president's top advisor on Russia, Tim Morrison, is testifying to impeachment investigators. Now, we hear that he has verified much of that account as regards delaying military aid to Ukraine in case the president there does not investigate Joe Biden, as Mr. Trump has asked for that. Let's have your comments on that.
Yeah, I think that's not surprising. It sounded credible when it came out, just knowing the personality, even just the public personality that we've known of this president. He likes to go with whims. He's very forceful. He will really only agree with you if you're going along with what he says. He's very brash. He's very quick to try and put hard leverage on people. Honestly, when I heard this, it so didn't shock me that I almost didn't see it as controversial, because I would expect it if one looked deep enough. There's probably multiple instances of this throughout many different countries since the Trump presidency began.
Mm-hmm. Now, Malik, what are the chances of an impeachment to be launched against the president? I think Jacob said that it's unlikely.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you look at what's happened thus far, and as I mentioned, I think Robert Mueller, there were 10 or so different instances that we were convinced, everyone was convinced that this is something that Democrats would be able to take and impeach Donald Trump under. In this case, I don't expect it to go further than the House. I do think that the Senate should have the vote. We should have the vote in the Senate, but I don't expect anything to come from this. And I would even be surprised after this impeachment inquiry whether or not we even get to the impeachment phase. I don't expect that to happen at all.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, you agree?
Huh? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes,
I think that we will hear about a lot of this during the campaign trail for the Democrats. Like, we did it, yeah. we tried it. But as far as getting to the actual step, no.
Mm-hmm. And Melick, you know, with the presidential election drawing closer, couldn't this kind of impact President Trump?
Yes, I think to the extent it impacts our president, it's the unknown of how he's going to respond to it. I don't think that this is going to impact a vote are either one way or the other. People are pretty locked in. Either you're going to support Donald Trump or you're not. I don't expect this to impact the election itself or any vote, but how our president responds to things. And even you have people on our side who kind of are leery of the president responding when he's attacked. And we know sometimes when he's attacked, he kind of goes off on a whim. And so we are hoping that we don't have that type of situation here, but I don't expect this to impact the vote at all.
Mm-hmm. And Jacob, let's have your opinion. And how could Joe Biden be also likely affected by this?
Well, Joe Biden, it's pretty clear that the Democratic establishment has selected Joe Biden as the candidate that they would like to take the Democratic nomination. He could be affected positively by this. I mean, he has been pretty well created, been handed a potential victim complex should he choose to take that and use it on the campaign trail, especially if he's selected as the nominee. As someone who could have been potentially personally victimized by Donald Trump, that will make him extremely popular with supporters whom he already has, but other Democrats and maybe even some other leftists who are not necessarily wild about him, but he gained a certain bona fides from being attacked by Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tom, now for your final comments or any points you want to touch upon. Melick, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Jacob on that point, but I will say that we had one candidate who was mercilessly attacked by Donald Trump, and she ended up not winning the election at all. I don't think that this is something that's going to ultimately help Joe Biden, especially when we're talking about the connection with his son, that even though people are now saying it's not something that's illegal that was done there, but there are some ethical questions there. So I don't think that Joe Biden will be able to make much out of this at all, and Donald Trump would use everything at his disposal to keep pushing this Bo Biden point.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, any other comments?
She won the popular vote.
Okay. Now, on that note, we come to the end of this program. Let me thank our guests. We had a host of the Voice of the Revolution, the radio Jacob Music, who joins from Maryland, and also political commentator Melick Abdul, who joined us from Washington, D.C. Thank you for watching this program. We'll see you next time.